Come with me to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Mm-hmm. We're going to begin our reading at the 28th verse. While you're getting that, giving unto God the Father, Jesus, Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is assuredly present with us. If you don't feel this present, I need you to get connected.
Yeah.
Amen. Because God is in this place. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I don't know how you feel about it, but I brought him with me.
Yeah.
He never left me.
Yeah.
Glory. You all did likewise. We're going to have a good time. Y'all, you know me by now.
So,
you know, we just going to have a good time. Is that all right?
All right.
Amen. 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 Isaiah 40 and the 28th verse, a very familiar passage. It says, "Hast thou," and I'm reading from the King James Version, "hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." Look what he does. "He giveth power to the faint, and them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait..." Give that a minute, just let that sink in your spirit for now. "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint."
Right.
Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you for just being God and all by yourself. We need you today. You said you were sent forth your word into the earth, would not return unto you void. We receive your word right now.
Right.
And to do so, Lord, open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Let us have an experience today. An experience so much so that we'll go out and tell the dying world that they call you live. They can live also. In Jesus' name we pray. God, be so deep within the crest of your cross and behind it, down and being seen. And only you get the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Giving again honor to God the Father, to Jesus' Son, to the Holy Spirit who is present with us, to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, our only lady, Sister Stinger, Amen. To my lovely wife, Sheila, my only lady, to our assistant pastor, Reverend Smith, to each of you, and Sister Smith, to each of you, God's children, our official boards. The choir just knocking it out the box.
Yeah.
Amen. They're getting better every day, aren't they?
Amen.
Amen. Ain't God good? Amen. To each of you God's children, it's so good to be in your presence on today. Amen. I'm going to try to get through this here because this is some good stuff.
Yeah.
I get excited about the word. This is good stuff. And I wrestled. I'm going to tell you what. I wrestled because I thought on Monday that I was coming to you and I was going to preach something like, "What you say counts, but what you do changes." But by Friday night, that changed to how to win your wrestling match.
Yeah.
And then last night at some point, I was dealing with no empty seats, please.
Yeah.
But then the Lord just woke me up last night and gave me go back and deliver one on wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Because I had to wait on them because I wrestled with a number of these. And they go come. But I was tickled by no empty seats, please, because you look around here. Don't y'all get tired of empty seats?
Yeah.
We should do better than this, didn't we?
Amen.
I mean, we ought to be able to preach better than we get more seats full, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you ought to do better in inviting folks. Amen. Amen. It's my problem. It's your problem. You don't sit by yourself. I sit by the pastor, and I got rest over here. I'm good.
Yeah. That's all right.
And here's the thing. We all know somebody that's not here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Did I give you a task?
Yes, sir.
I challenge you. Go call somebody. Tell them to come on in. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Today I want to talk to you from the subject, wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Webster said that wait is to postpone an action or stay on one spot until something anticipated occurs. To linger until one catches up, or to remain in a place of readiness or expectation. We are required to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Now the thing is, here's the challenge that we have is we wait or try to stop waiting. We try to prevent waiting. We do everything we can to try to shorten things up. We really don't, as people, like to wait. Do you like to wait? I don't know about it. Am I the only one that's impatient?
No.
I mean, I don't like to wait for just about nothing. I mean, as soon as I can get it, if I can get it right now, I like it right now. I mean, we work. Think about this. We work to ensure that things are done fast. We went from the horse and buggy to the automobile. We just don't want to wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. From the automobile to the aeroplane. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We got microwave now. We got dishwashers. We used to be our own dishwasher.
Yes, sir.
We got washers and dryers. We got fast food, and we got slow food fast. We got takeout. We got TV dinner. We got less dish. We got mail. We do all our mail orders. We got internet orders, online buying. We got computers now and telephones and teleconferencing and texting and satellite accesses and GPS and navigation. All of this because we want to shorten up the queue and save some time. We got Facebook and wikis and blogs and microblogs and Twitter and online dating. I said online dating. I mean, there's one called TrinsChristianSingles.com.
Yes, sir.
Have you heard the advertisement for that one? Yeah. Shocked me when I heard it. I'm like, that's what they do in a city? I'm just not clued in some ways. I'm just saying, ChristianSingles.com. We try to do anything we can to shorten things up. We run get-rich-quick schemes.
Yeah.
Everybody want to make $1 million fast. We got a situation where, you know, you're shacking and cohabitating. That's the benefits of marriage without the actual vows. You know, we want to get there quick. You know what I mean? I mean, you save time for the divorce. After all, it's going to always end up in divorce, right?
That's right.
Y'all, amen. Somebody, y'all couples better help me out. Always trying to find a shortcut. We buy degrees now. We try to find shortcuts. Think about this. We look at a quick way to lose weight fast. We got 25 minutes to the body that you desire. We got 20 minutes workout. We got a 15 minutes to fame. We got 10 minutes massive abs or arms as you work for a better reading. And we got 5 minutes abs, and we got minute rights. They said, Doug and Fresh, you got 6 minutes and you're on. Now, for the young people, Avant said, I got only 4 minutes. I'm just saying, we're always trying to shorten up stuff.
Yeah.
Mama said that if it's worth having, it's worth waiting. Somebody, y'all mama say mama?
Yeah.
If it's worth having, it's worth waiting for. And even though we do make every effort we can to try to shorten things up, we still find ourselves having to wait.
Yeah.
Think about it. We wait for our dreams to be fulfilled. We wait for our goals to be realized.
Yeah.
We wait for our baggage to come in. We wait for the movie to start. We wait for morning to come, evening to arrive, and night to fall. We wait for us to grow up. We wait for to get a job. We wait for the right ship to come in. And notice I said the right ship, and that's Mr. Right will arrive on that ship, or Mrs. Right. Because if we don't get Mr. or Mrs. Right on that ship, what we end up getting is Mr. Big or Mr. Clean or Mrs. Jones. We wait on our checks and on our money. We wait for our teachers and our profession. We wait for our ditch diggers, our truck drivers. We wait for our loved ones. We wait for traffic. And y'all know how much we do not love waiting in traffic. But we wait on traffic anyway. So my point is, in spite of our effort to try to shorten things up and not wait, we end up waiting anyway. But here's the thing. We oftentimes are waiting for those things and in those situations, in those places, that when they finally do arrive, they don't deliver the desired outcome.
Come on, preacher.
Why wouldn't it be so that if we're able to wait on all of those things, why wouldn't we wait
on
the Lord? See, because the nice thing about the Lord, see, when the Lord, when he arrives, you can trust that he will come.
Yeah.
You can expect that he will deliver, and you can anticipate his arrival.
Yeah.
Is that all right? That's T-E-A-T for those who are looking for an acronym. We're looking for, you can trust that he will come, you can expect that he will deliver, and you can anticipate his arrival. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Because that's what our text is all about. If you look at verse, the first part, he says, hast thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding.
Yes.
Trust that he will come.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you already heard trust that he will come? Trust is assured reliance on the character, ability, or strength, or truth, or someone, or something. We trust that God will come. See, in our text we find that Jews had been locked down in Babylon. And they were in a situation that they had no prospect for deliverance except the Lord.
Yes.
Somebody say, but God.
But God.
There was no way for them to get out of their situation except they relied on the Lord.
Yes.
So they had to wait on the Lord. So the psalmist said, the writer here said, Isaiah said, he said, wait on the Lord.
Yes.
They couldn't get out of their situation. So they were encouraged, don't you give up. Don't you give in. Just trust that the Lord, he will come.
Yes.
Now, see, now I don't know if you have been on their street before, but somebody here in this church has been down that street where you found yourself in a situation where you could not rely on anyone else or anything else but the Lord.
Amen.
If you've been there, you can relate to this. You had your back up against the wall. You felt weak or feeble or guilty or helpless. You had nowhere to run or nowhere to hide. You come to the end of your road like the boys to men. You found yourself like the Babylon in a strange land, and you could not sing Zion's song in a strange land. There you were.
Yeah.
And you had to wait on the Lord.
That's right. That's
you can
right.
wait on Him and expect that He, you can trust that God will come. I don't know where you've been, but I can tell you today that I'm not that old. I didn't make the prime time as yet. But I'm getting there. But see, I made it. But what I realize is that the Lord always comes through.
That's right.
I tried to work it out for myself, and I messed it up a whole lot of times. But whenever I put it in God's hand, He always. If you try to do it yourself, see what happens. We end up messing it up, and we get to a point where we even hate it of men. But I hear Him saying in Matthew 10:22, "And you shall be hated of all men for My sake. But he that endured to the end, he that waited on the Lord, shall be what? Saved." Somebody said this way, they said, hold on, hang on, help is on the way.
Yeah.
I got news for you, it's not on the way, it's already here.
Yeah.
Let me bear myself out. We can trust that God, He said in Matthew 28:20, He said, and Lord, I'll be with you always, what? Until the end? I'm with you. He said in Hebrews 13:5, He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. We tend to trust people and position and our money more than we trust God.
Yeah. Come on, preacher, come on.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Say so.
We trust people and our position and our money more than we trust God. How do I know that? Because when all of a sudden your money fails or people fail you, then you're all upset with God.
No,
you were relying on them before. Now why is it that now you're putting the problem blaming Him now? You were trusting your bank account. You got all of a sudden your money low, you can't pay your bill, and now it's God's fault.
Come on.
Don't trust in your money in the first place.
Amen.
And let God work it out. And what God do, what God does.
Yes,
wait on the Lord. Let me back myself. Psalms 118:8 said, it is better to trust the Lord than to put your trust in man. He said, it's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You're relying on the wrong thing. He said in Psalm 49:6, He said, they that trust their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him. You can't even buy your way into heaven.
That's right.
All this stuff that you have, you relying on man and money. Somebody say, well, man and money will fail you. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
How many of you have all the money you want? I want to meet you if you do, because you want to, I need to talk to you. I need to have a conversation. You talk about how you can help me out, you know. We cannot rely on man and money.
That's right.
More people fall out with God because they fell out with somebody. You were relying and trusting that this person was going to do you right, and all of a sudden, the very person you thought was going to do you right, they did you wrong.
Yeah.
And the very person you thought was going to do you wrong, they did you right. That's man, because man fickle like that. And I know you. I know, because sometimes you wake up in the morning, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. I'm enjoying what I'm talking about. We need to trust God and wait on Him, and He will do exactly what He says. Proverbs 3:5, He said, trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Why is this important? Because when you trust the Lord, it builds your confidence. When you trust the Lord, I say, it builds your confidence. Psalm 56:11 says, and in God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid of the man, what he will do to me. See, when you trust God, you're not afraid of man. Genesis 15:20, Joseph talked to his brother. They were concerned about him. And Joseph said, wait a minute, you meant it for my evil. But God turned around for my good. When you have your reliance on God and you trust God, you can realize that no matter what people are trying to do to you, God has your back. He's working it out on your behalf. See, that's what Job did. See, Job got in a situation where he didn't have it. He lost his family, lost his mom, lost everything he had. Even he had sick and he boiled all over. But he said to the Lord, he said, hey, let's see how when you trust God. He said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I don't know if anybody's been on Job's seat, but you ever been in a situation where you looked at daughter and said, look, it doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm going to rely on you.
Yes.
I can't trust nobody else to get me out of this. But Lord, I'm just going to rely on you. And he looked at God saying, God, don't you slay me.
Yeah.
I'm still going to trust you.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about what somebody in my family is going to do or what my foes are going to do or what my frenemies are going to do. I'm talking about, Lord, don't you slay me. I'm going to trust you.
Yeah.
He said, if a man die, look at this recently in Job 14:14, shall he live again? He said, all the days of my appointed time, what am I going to do? I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait till my change comes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm God, and I'm not going anywhere anyway.
Yeah.
I might as well just wait on the Lord. See, some of us get in such a hurry that instead of us waiting and let the Lord work it out, we try to work it ourselves, and we make it worse than it is.
Yeah.
We make it worse than we can handle it. Then all of a sudden, we then start to blame and making our attitude wrong because now we're blaming God more and more for what we messed up more ourselves. Why don't you just start with God?
Yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and all these things will be added unto you.
That's right.
Seek God first. Let put him in front of the situation and then see what happens.
Yeah.
Stop getting up in the morning talking about, well, I'm going to take care of it today.
Mm.
Well, you didn't take care of it yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the day before yesterday.
Right.
And the week before yesterday week.
Yeah.
What makes you think today, you know what insanity is? Doing the same thing and expect a different result. I'm not saying you're insane, but you are doing the same thing. And you are expecting a different result. I'm just saying. If I'm going to be crazy, what I'm going to be crazy is to have, I'm going to lose my mind. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to have the mind of Christ. That's the kind of crazy. I'm just saying, if you're going to choose crazy. The second thing is to expect that God will deliver.
Yeah.
In verse number 20, look at 29, he said, he giveth power and he increased its strength. Mm-hmm. Expect that God will deliver. The word expect, it talks about waiting upon. It denotes properly that you wait, but a sense of expectation. We can expect that God will come. He may not come when you want him.
Yeah.
But he's always
coming. Always.
We can always expect that God will come. You need to be, when you are waiting on God, not just sitting around doing that, but you need to be expecting that God will deliver because we serve an able God. Psalm 37 said, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou be fed in the land. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thou. Look at what God do. He said, commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. David went further in the Psalm, in verse number 25, same Psalm 37. He said, I have been young, but now I'm old.
Yeah.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. That's the kind of God that we serve, that the God that we can trust and rely and expect that no matter what situation I'm in right now, God is going to come through.
Yeah.
See, some of you are in a situation right now. God, you need to trust God and trust that God, I've never been here before. That's okay, God has.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, the problem is you've not been there, and you're trying to act like you're an authority on the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
Yeah.
But God is.
Yeah.
So why not put it in his hand?
Yeah.
Let him do what he said he would do. Psalm 27 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my, of whom shall I be afraid? I'm just relying on God. When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes came upon me to eat up my fat, he said, they stumbled and fled. Though the host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, this will I be confident.
Yeah.
So here's a psalmist who's looking at the situation and realizing that if I just put it in God's hand, God's got it. But somebody say life happens.
Yeah.
That same psalmist experienced life happening, and you look a little bit further down in verse number 12, he said, he's crying out to God now. He said, deliver me not over until the will of my enemies.
Mm.
The false witnesses are risen up against me as such as breathe out cruelty. Look what he said, I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But he still said, wait. On the Lord.
Yeah.
See, I had fainted. I got to a point where I almost gave up.
Yeah.
I almost let go, but I held on just enough to let you know that if you wait on him, he'll come through. Anybody been on this summit on David Street where you got to a point in your life where you almost threw in the towel, but then God came through just in time?
Yeah.
You can tell somebody that if you just hold on for a little while longer.
Yeah.
I serve an awesome God, an on-time God. He said, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord.
Yeah.
So you can expect that he will come through.
Yeah.
But now also I need to let you know, I need to send out a warning here. I need to let you know that Jesus is soon to return.
Yeah.
So you need to get ready and stay ready.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You need to get ready and stay ready. See, a lot of us good at getting ready. But you know, when you put on a Sunday suit, after a while, it becomes too heavy.
Come on,
you want to get back in your casual clothes. I can't be dressed like this all day. It's for nothing I'm dressed like this Sunday morning. So I can put this on for Sunday morning, but I'm not about to be wearing this Sunday afternoon. So some of us have our Christianity like that. We're good on Sunday morning. But come Sunday afternoon, we got to take this stuff off. Coming back. We don't know, somebody said that, we don't know the day, nor the hour. Peter said, 6:39, the Lord is not slack concerning the promise, as some men count slack. He's long suffering that to us, but not any that willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge. He's trying to make sure he's giving us time so that everybody can be saved.
Yes,
you getting upset because you got to wear your suit a little bit longer than you thought you had, but we staying a little bit longer because somebody else needs to be saved. You need to stay in the fight because somebody else needs to be saved. And you need to be saved. Because don't you think just because you're saved it's the end of the story. You need to hear what he said in Revelation 22 and 11, 12. He said that he that is unjust when he come back, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. He said, look at here. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Get ready.
And stay ready.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Get ready.
And stay ready. If the good man of the house, he said in Matthew 24, had known in what hour that the thief would come, he would have not allowed his house to be broken into. We don't know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming, so we need to get ready. Can I tell you a story? I don't mind using the Bible. In Matthew 25, there was a wedding to take place. There were 10 virgins which took their lamp and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Y'all know this story, right? You read your Bible, Matthew 25, 1 through 14. He said, five of them were wise. Why was that? Because they took oil with their lamps. But five of them were fools. Why was that? Because they took their lamp, but they took no oil. All of them, look at what happened at midnight. You know you get tired. Every now and then we all get tired. They all slumbered and they all slept. But at midnight there was a cry made.
Come on.
Said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all the virgins rose up. And they began to trim their lamps. It's all right to trim your lamp, but some happened because the foolish, they were trimming, but they didn't have any oil. They had the trimming, they had everything, that they looked good, but they didn't have any oil. They didn't have anything on the inside. And so when it came time to meet the bride, they began to try to negotiate with those who had some oil. They said, well, can you give me a little bit? No, I need mine, because I need to use mine. I don't know how much I'm going to need myself, but you can go to those who are selling it, and you can buy some. But on that way, as they went, the bridegroom came, and they found themselves. Y'all know the story. I'm saying, you got to get ready and stay ready. See, they came in ready. They had the oil and they had some lamp in the oil in the lamp. But what they didn't have, they didn't have any extra oil.
Somebody said,
I need some extra oil. You need some extra oil. Everybody needs some extra oil. You need to be ready when it comes. Because we don't, now see, now let me go to my last point, because we got to anticipate his arrival. See, the problem here with our virgin was this. It was not that they did not expect. They did not anticipate.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's going to come at midnight?
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, who's coming to visit you at midnight? Don't answer that. That's a rhetorical question.
That's all right.
They didn't expect Jesus, the bridegroom, to come at midnight.
That's right.
What bridegroom shows up, if it's all in good standing, if I have enough oil to get me through the night, I go to bed, go to sleep, get up in the morning, we don't need the lamp.
Come on,
we just go out and meet it.
So
it made a lot of sense, though, but they didn't anticipate. So my last point is, you need to anticipate his arrival. It's good to trust him. It's good to expect that he's going to come, but you need to anticipate that he is going to anticipate one by meaning you need to prepare for his arrival. See, when you get excited about somebody coming to visit you.
Come on, preacher.
You'll prepare yourself.
Yes, sir.
When you're looking forward to guests, nobody here will let their guests come into a dirty house.
Come on, preacher.
If you are, don't raise your hand, but we can talk offline. I'll make sure I don't come by surprise. You're going to set up things. If you're looking forward to guests that you want to impress, you find yourself cleaning up the house, getting things in order, and taking out chatter you ain't using in a whole year, and you set things up nice for this guest to come in that you're excited about. You may be tired. You've been had a hard week all week, but you can't wait till this guest come in. That's what happens when you're excited about somebody coming to visit you. Now, there's a different group, though, when you're not somebody coming over that you don't want to see. That's a different, whole different act. It ties you out a whole lot more when you really don't want to see somebody. Just hearing that they're coming over really kind of irks your spirit and gets on your ever-loving nerve. And I did say ever-loving nerve as opposed to lasting nerve. But one that you are excited about,
yes, sir.
It gives you energy and motivation. It's kind of like you going on a trip and that you've been waiting for. You pack early. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of us, we're not going to a trip till next summer, and we already got the bags packed. We done made all the plans. We got the schedule set up. We got our clothes lined up. We done bought summer clothes in the wintertime. Some of us can't wait for Christmas. I heard somebody shopping for Christmas in July. I'm just saying, this when we anticipate and excited about, we'll prepare ourselves in anticipation. We need to be in a position to anticipate that God is coming back.
Yeah.
We need not rest on our laurels and think that waiting means sit around and do nothing and expect God is going to do stuff for us. We need not expect miraculous interposition for things God has given us to do. See, the farmer, if he sits back and waits for God to then harvest his plant, he's going to be disappointed at harvest time.
Yes, sir.
There will be no harvest. You cannot sit back and say, I'm praying that the Lord would bless me with water when God has given you the capacity to get your lazy and get your water.
Yes,
stop praying for, y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You praying for what God has already given you to do?
Mm-hmm.
I want the Lord to bless me with a house and to bless me with a car, to bless me to control these bills. Well, you're not trying to work. But you're able to. That's why the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
You overspending? I'm believing all. But y'all follow me? You living beyond your means? And then you get mean? Because you can't afford your means? Now you upset with God? Wonder why you outside? Come on now. This ain't new stuff. This is just... We need to understand that we need to be about the business anticipating God, and we can do some things now to ready ourselves for his return. And one thing we can do is don't get caught up in the affairs of this life, knowing that we've got another place we got to go to. Pilgrim and sojourners down here. We need to be connected to what it is God is requiring that we do. And we do that by understanding his requirements and loving one another.
Yes, sir. Amen.
How shall they know that you are my disciples?
Yes.
That you love one another. You did run fast, but who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Paul said this way, he said in Hebrews 12:1. He said, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, if we're waiting and anticipating, we need to understand we're going to get some pressures, but that doesn't mean we need to stop.
Yes, sir.
We need to run all the more harder. We got to lay some stuff down and pick up some stuff. We got to lay some stuff down and pick up pat your feet and bend your knees and get about God's business. Stop sitting around moping and moaning because things are not going your way. Christians, I said something. I said, stop sitting around moping and moaning because things are not going your way. Have you checked things out? If you do a retrospective look, a look around, comparatively a retrospective look, you look around and you'll see that, you know what? You are better off than a whole lot of folks.
Amen. Amen.
I used to complain that I had no shoes, but I really did see a man that had no feet to do. And I realized, even though I have plantar fasciitis, I'm blessed. Y'all hear what I say? I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Yeah.
I may not have the clothes I want, but I have clothes.
Yeah.
I'm blessed.
Yes, sir.
I'm sitting in a wrong, warm place in a warm house. I got a roof over my head. I'm blessed.
Yeah.
God is coming back, and we need to be a people that are letting people know that he's coming back and let them know and warn them that he is returning. And we do that not by saying words that don't matter, but by speaking truth, but living that kind of life where people can see God in us.
Yes.
I close with this here. He says to us in Isaiah 40 and 31, he said, not anticipation, but they that wait, why is it that we should wait? Why should we anticipate? Well, he said, because they that wait upon the Lord, here's what happened. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's an exciting thing when you think about the fact that if I'm waiting on the Lord, anticipating God's return, and I'm excited about his return, what happens is all of a sudden there's going to be revival.
Yeah.
My strength is going to be renewed.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if I'm flying, if I'm running, or if I'm walking. God is going to add to my situation.
Yeah.
He's going to make it better than what it is, because if I wait on him, he said, look here, if you wait, I'm going to renew your strength.
Yeah.
You shall mount up with wings of eagles. Isn't that nice to know that we can fly?
Yeah.
I believe I can. Huh? Isn't it good to know that I can look and fly above my situation and look down on my situation?
Yeah.
And the higher I go up, the closer I get to God, the smaller it looks. That's why I say I lift up my eyes into the hills from which come in my help. Because the closer I get, my vision to his vision, the things I'm dealing with down here get smaller and smaller. You've been in an airplane before, right? And knows how when that airplane starts to go up, the higher it goes up, the smaller things get. All of a sudden you're looking at a big building, then it looks like a little ant. That's the way it is. If you let your vision become connected with God's vision, he's looking from a level that this thing doesn't matter. It's all little stuff.
Yeah.
We spend it down here because we're too close to the problem. Don't get so connected to your problem and get more connected to the Lord. He said, run and not be weary. He's going to walk and not faint. Run and not be weary. I'm going to be about the business of running and doing what God said do, and I'm not going to be wearied by people and by situations around me. Isn't that good news?
Good news.
Wait on the Lord. And then last he said, I'm going to walk and not faint. Paul takes it one level, and I want to take it one level further, because Paul takes it one level further. And in Ephesians 6, he said, and having done all to stand.
Yeah.
He says, stand.
Stand.
See, when you're in a situation where you're waiting and you're waiting and you're running and you're walking, he said, that don't come to a point that you might have to stand.
Yeah.
But you stand anyway.
Yeah.
See, you may get tired of waiting. What I'm telling you to do is wait some more.
Yeah.
You may get tired of running. What I'm saying is run some more.
Yeah.
If you get tired of walking, I'm saying walk some more.
Yeah.
If you get tired of standing, I'm saying stand some more.
Yeah.
See, if you're hungry, that's all right.
Yeah.
Wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're full, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're thirsty, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
See, you need to wait on the Lord. If you're naked, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're told, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
In bad situations, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
In good situations, wait on the Lord. If you're outdoors, wait on the Lord.
Mm.
If you're inside, wait on the Lord. If you're beat up, wait on the Lord. If you're on the top of your game or beat down, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're distressed, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're in peace, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're persecuted, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm saying it doesn't matter what situation you're in, just wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're sad, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're crying, wait on the Lord. If you're smiling, wait on the Lord. If you're frowning, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord will come through just in time. Stand still, he said, and see the salvation of the Lord. I got a little nugget I want to give you. Here's what he said. He said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord.
Yeah.
He said, but look here. He said, the battle is not yours. Now, hold up now. He said, the vengeance is mine, and the battle is not yours. None of this belongs to me.
Right.
Yeah. Vengeance ain't mine because it belongs to the Lord. And the battle is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. He said, but here's what you got. Victory belongs to you.
Yeah.
We serve a God that we are already victorious. Isn't it good to know that we are winning King? I'm saying to you, church, no matter what your situation is, just wait on the Lord. Rely on God. Trust the Lord that he will come. Anticipate his arrival. Expect that he's going to deliver you. And then just wait on the Lord. Don't let your jobless situation, don't let your sick situation, don't let your situation at all get the best of you. Just wait on the Lord. The Lord has never failed me. I'm like David. David, I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor God be begging me. Just wait. Let me talk to you about it. There was a man by the name of Jesus.
He
came down through 32 generations. Came down from heaven. 42 generations. He came down from heaven. Hung out on the cross.
Yes,
that's 33 years ago. I see something happen. He's in the garden. He's praying. He said, Father, remove this cup from me. But I'm going to wait on you. Not in my will, Lord. But thy will be done. He said, well, I got to go to the cross. Went to the cross and hung on the cross. Somebody said, come on down off the cross. He said, no, I'm going to wait on the Lord. Because if he had come down from the cross, our soul would be lost. cross. It's got to be if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Put down in the grave. Friday night, somebody said, get up, Jesus. They told somebody, said, get up, Jesus. Saturday night, said, get up, Jesus. But he's going to wake up the Lord. He said, I've already given my spirit out there. In my hand, I commend my spirit. He said, but early Sunday morning. Early. He prayed on the Lord. And then early Sunday morning, the Lord touched him with his spirit again. He got up out of the grave. All power. Not the end of the story. Went back to heaven. Sat down at the right hand of God. Now guess what? If you have a problem, guess who you call on?
Hallelujah.
You call on the Lord. But you call on it in his son's name, Jesus. So what happens is the blood covers you. And then Jesus, you call him in the name of Jesus. Jesus then speaks to his Father on your behalf.
Yes,
and you get an answer. He said, ask. John said it earlier. And it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Not because you're qualified, not because you deserve it, but because Jesus is here. And he said,
wait on you.
Times are not what they used to be. Times have changed. Situations have changed. Circumstances have changed. We are so caught up in what's going on, oftentimes with what doesn't